This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Saturday, May 30th, 2020. The Vigil of Pentecost, by Father William Doc Holliday.
When thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. As we consider Pentecost, as we should, I always point out at Pentecost, and this isn't anything that you should be concerned about. Out of the three persons of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost is the hardest for us to grasp. It's hardest to get our heads. We can understand God the Father. We understand God the Son. God the Holy Spirit, something different. God the Holy Spirit, this one who goes where he will, this breath of the Spirit, is something that we have to appreciate without understanding. Not that we can comprehend even the Father and the Son, but the Holy Spirit just eludes us, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing on one hand because he is the Holy Spirit. He is the breath of God. He is, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, the love, not in emotion, but the love manifest between the Father and the Son. This Holy Spirit it's kind of interesting. The one we can't get our heads around is, out of the three persons of the Trinity, the one that is most directly involved in your personal being. When you are baptized, you are not infused by the Father or the Son. You are infused by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the person of God who indwells you. He is the one that lives inside. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not the temple of the Father. You are not the temple of the Son. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Interesting. He's the one closest to us, yet we don't get him. There are some things we need to get about him, though. In the understanding of the Holy Spirit, he illumines us. Yes, he does. How does he illumine us? How does he lighten our souls? John the Baptist does not say, I baptize you with water, but he who is going to come will baptize you with light. He says he will baptize you with fire. We get the illumination. We get the light from fire. What does fire do? Fire consumes things. Fire renews things. He changes them into what they were not before. Sometimes, and it's a good thing, he reduces things to ashes, that old person. And then the other things, like after a forest fire, what happens? You got a bunch of ashes, a bunch of stumps and burning embers like that. But what happens shortly thereafter? You look around and you've got flowers and greenness coming up. It's actually more lush. There are actually plants that their seeds do not germinate until they come into direct contact with intense heat, some pine trees. Okay, this is how the Holy Spirit works. He is not just a simple light that lightens us if we want to pay attention or not, because you know what? When the lights come on, you know what you can do? You can close your eyes real tight and you'll see nothing. We have to cooperate with the graces our Lord shows us. And even fire, what can you do? And we know we can do it with the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. You can stomp him out. You can throw water on him, and the fire will die down. It will never go away, but it will die way down. This is what we have to understand of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that indwells you, if you are cooperating with his graces, if you are keeping your eyes open to the light that he shines, you see things that he does for us. Our Holy Spirit, that one that indwells us, He unites us to God. God desires that we should strive to be as he is. Does not our Lord Jesus Christ say, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect? It is not a suggestion. And it is not an impossibility, because if it was impossible, Jesus Christ would not be righteous if he told us to do something that we could not do. With the direction, the guidance, and the protection of the Holy Spirit, we can be united with God. We can gain that perfection if we will just not quench him, if we will keep our eyes open to the light that he shines in us. He desires that we be in union with God, that when we become to be as he is, we have to do it in just that, union with God. You cannot strive to be perfect outside of union with God. Two individuals that come into my mind that have done that are Lucifer, Satan. He was created just this shy of being like God, almost God, close enough to where he felt confident to rebel against God. He wanted to be as God is, but outside of union with God. And then our first father, Adam, he did the same exact thing. This one Satan who fell, who tried to live a life of perfection outside of union with God, he tempts Adam and Eve. Hey, did God really say? And they, not being attentive to the leadings of the Holy Spirit, maybe he really didn't say that. Maybe it'll be okay. Because why? What did he tell them that they would be like if they ate? You will be like God. Well, doesn't he want me to be perfect? And if I eat that tree, I'll be like him. We do not work outside of his rules and his parameters. They took and ate. Adam wanted to be like God, but outside of union with him. But we know the rest of that story. We cannot fall into that same thing. We have to be attentive to the Holy Spirit. We have to be led by him. We have, and one of those leadings that that unite us with God is to more and more convince us that we need to be conformed to his will. What is his will? I don't know. I can't stand when I hear that. I wish I knew what God's will is. You know what? Get your face out of Facebook for a couple minutes and open the scriptures. And you'll know exactly what his will is. It's unmistakable. He lets you know definitively and explicitly. He illumines our minds to understand that. You know, you believe things. Just the fact that you're sitting here right now shows me, demonstrates to me, that you believe things that people out there don't. Why are you here right now? Why aren't you out there hanging out, doing Saturday evening things? Okay, things are tight. Things are loosening up now. We actually go out and like eat at restaurants and stuff. Why aren't you doing that? Why are you here? Because the Holy Spirit has illumined you to it, you know, and it might just be because I got to dot I's and cross T's and I don't have to go to Mass either Saturday night or Sunday. You know, if that's all there is, it's still an illumination, because how many hundreds of millions out there aren't? He illumines our minds. We are moved to love the things of God, to please him and not the things of this world. Even people who do good things in this world who are outside of God, they're not doing a good thing. They're basically taking their own pleasure in their good deeds. I like helping poor people. I hate God, but I give money to poor people. Why are you doing it then? Why are you giving money to poor people? Because I take pleasure in that. I like helping other people. Oh, all about you. You give money to the poor people because they're made in the image of the Holy Spirit. They are made in the image of God, and you don't let anybody suffer. That's the way our mind works on things like that. The Holy Spirit changes us. It's not just to get the warm and fuzzies. It's to do what God wants us to do to please him. That's why we do little things like fast. And we do little things like, you know, don't drink to excess. We do that because it demonstrates a love for the world. This is where I get my pleasure. Comfy food. This is where I get my pleasure. I like to deaden the problems that I have. A couple glasses of wine or plus. You know? No. We deal with the things in this world. A couple glasses of wine isn't bad at all. All right? As a matter of fact, last time I looked, our Lord's first miracle was changing water into wine. To gladden the hearts of men, as the scriptures say. Okay? It's a good thing. In limits. You do it too much? Anything. Too much. It is going beyond the limits. It is going outside the revealed will of God. We are changed. We are illumined by the Holy Spirit to do the things that please God and don't do things that displease him. And then he provides us true peace. We have to understand in this life that we, and it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how much you love Jesus, guess what? In this life, you're going to have struggles. It is just this journey. It is this exodus. We don't belong here. And we're here with a bunch of, we're sin, cursed, and fallen. We're in a sin, cursed, and fallen world. And we're surrounded by sin, cursed, and fallen people. It ain't going to be pretty. But when the Holy Spirit dwells within us, he provides us a true peace. True peace. Not peace, period, like, I got no problems. That's not true peace. You can try to convince yourself by there's a lack of turmoil in your life that everything is good. But if you're not in tune with our Lord Jesus Christ, you're separated from the Father, and we have to fix that. The Holy Spirit provides us this true peace. As we're in a journey in this world, and it's going to be arduous, and a lot of it is uphill. Sometimes it looks like a cliff, all right? But these cliff experiences, if they're done in the, as one commentator put it, if they're done in the bright of day, if there's good weather while we're climbing a cliff, got a little bit of a cool breeze and everything, it's a whole lot easier than do it with the storm clouds of sin are surrounding us and we're getting rain poured on us and hail hitting us in the head and lightning going here and there. That's the true peace. I have to struggle up this cliff, but the Holy Spirit is giving me a solace to just get through it. Doesn't go away. We just do it better. This is our life. This is the Holy Spirit within us. You are not saved, and the Holy Spirit is infused in you at your baptism, and you have the light, and that's it. The Holy Spirit is that constant flame that burns. What do you have to do to feed a flame? You've got to keep throwing stuff in there that'll get burned up. What is that for us? That's our examination of conscience. Here, Holy Spirit, burn this up in me. Here, Holy Spirit, burn this up in me. Because he won't do it voluntarily. It's like thinking of a fire at the camp. The fire's not going to jump up. It will, if you don't pay attention, jump up and burn everything around you. If you do what you're supposed to be and responsible, you feed it. You don't want this Holy Spirit consuming you because he wants, and he will. Oh, the Holy Spirit is so warm and fuzzy. You know, the Holy Spirit kills people for lying to him, for instance. Acts chapter 5. What? God's nice to everybody. No, God does capital punishment. Different story for a different day. He does it. All right? Ananias lied to him, and St. Peter looks at him and says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit, and he was dead before he hit the floor. Then his wife came in, and he asked her the same question. She lied, and he said, they just took your husband out of here, and guess what? You're following him. She was dead before she hit the floor. So the Holy Spirit will burn you up if you do not live in conformity with his will. He doesn't take kindly to people lying to him. This is what we have to understand of the reality of this whole thing. He is there to illumine us, unite us to God, give us true peace. But if we are not careful, he is there to consume you. This is our lot. Yeah, this is just the way things are. It's like being born somewhere. I don't want to be born here. Well, guess what? You were. And you got to deal with it. The things in life. I got a bad phone call from the doctor. Guess what? You know, you're not going to. I don't want. You've got this. I don't want it. Click. Guess what? You still got to deal with it. We have to deal with the fact that we are sin, cursed, fallen, and we need the Holy Spirit by virtue of our baptism to appreciate what God is doing in us. Not stories in the Bible, not kids' Sunday school lessons, but you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. The embers of that fire, the lesser or greater extent, control it. Don't quench it. Don't give him too much to burn up, because he will. That's who he is. It's what he does. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.